Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Bless his name. But everything that hath breath,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen, Roy? I opened this 365 days of power, a daily reading. I just opened it this morning, just basically before I set off for church. And the title at the head of the page for today's date is Intellectual Power is Not Sufficient.
No.
Intellectual power is not sufficient. And then it quotes 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. And it says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
My faith, my walk, my life should all revolve around Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Crucified.
Praise God.
And nothing else.
Yeah.
There's a prayer with this one. And it goes like this: Lord, I want to tell you that I am sorry for the many times I have tried to present the gospel to others in the power of my intellect and flesh, failing to let the Holy Spirit confirm the word with signs following.
Amen.
I have been timid and shy about moving in the power of God. But I know it is time for me to push that timidity aside.
Yeah.
To the best of my ability and with sincerity of heart, I am telling you today that I want your gospel proving power to flow through me, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And there's a confession at the bottom of the page. I declare by faith that I am not timid or afraid.
Amen.
I was when I was a teenager. I was. Before I knew Jesus, I was. When Jesus came into my life and the Holy Spirit came into my life with him, things began to change.
Amen.
He began a work in me and he changed me. I declare by faith that I am not timid or afraid.
Amen.
God wants to pour his power through me, and I am receptive and open to his use. He's using me in this wonderful way.
Amen.
People need the power of God, and God wants to use me to bring his miraculous touch into their lives.
Yeah.
I am bold.
I am.
And confident.
I am.
And I am growing bolder and more confident every day.
I
declare this by faith.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, I'm not praying that just for me, but you know, I want you to take that up. Take it up.
Yes.
Say it with me. I declare by faith,
I declare by faith
that I am not timid or afraid.
God wants to pour
his power through me.
I am receptive.
And open to his using me.
in this wonderful way.
People need the power of God.
And God wants to use me
to bring His miraculous touch
into their lives.
I am bold.
I am confident.
And I am growing bolder.
And more confident.
Every day.
I declare this
by faith.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, let me tell you this. God listens to your confession.
And Jesus carries your confession right into the throne room of God where God hears it.
And He will empower you and expect to see results
from this.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise His wonderful name.
Glory to God. The more we declare it, the more we shall believe it.
See, God already knows.
He knows what you should be. He knows what you are. And He knows where He's taking you to.
Some of you say, well, I don't feel very bold. I don't feel very empowered.
Well, get in this book.
Amen.
This book says so.
Yeah, it does.
This book, I'm going to say this, this book took a coward. His name was Peter.
Yeah.
His name was Peter. And he was a coward. Because when a girl, a young teenage girl, said to him, you're one of them Galileans, you're one of the followers of Jesus, I've seen you with him, he blasphemed and cursed like a trooper. He became a man of the world. And he became a coward. And Jesus did not throw him on one side. But Jesus sought him out and said to him, I pray for you, Peter, that when you are fully being restored to strength, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But then he said, encourage your brethren.
Amen.
He tells it to an intimidated coward who's intimidated by not soldiers, not an army, but a young girl. And then on the day of Pentecost, he's empowered by the God of Jesus Christ. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he begins to declare the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And it says 3,000 men and women, men plus women and children, were added to the church that day. From a coward to a hero in Christ Jesus. To one of the heroes of faith in Christ Jesus. That can be you. That should be you.
Amen.
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 Glory to God. That's not the message for today. Glory to Jesus. That's just the warm-up. That's the appetizer.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. Be encouraged.
Amen.
Keep on rejoicing and praising God.
Amen.
Glory to His wonderful name. I think we finished in Revelation last week, I believe.
Yeah.
22 verse 9. Still on that subject of worship. Because the church today still does not know how to worship God. They sing songs. They jump up and down. but they still haven't yet understood how to worship God, how to get the presence of God to manifest itself within the church.
Yeah.
When we can do that, when we can get God to turn up,
amen,
signs, wonders and miracles will begin to happen.
Yeah.
When Solomon had built the temple, they worshipped the Lord and began to read the word. They'd sacrificed, they'd done all that they could, but then they turned to the word. And then the word turned up.
Amen.
The glory of the Lord came into the temple.
Amen.
And nobody could stand to speak.
Amen.
Nobody could stand in the presence of God.
Right.
Have you ever been in a church service where that happens? Anybody? Then I suggest to you we are settling for second best. Some people might say, well, things have moved on since then. Things are different now. Well, read your Bible. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not going to change. I can say I have been in a meeting where we have worshipped and the Lord, and the presence of the Lord has come in that meeting, and people have fallen flat down on their faces before the Lord, untouched by human hands.
Yeah.
I have seen a measure of this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
And His mercy endures forever.
Yes.
A process has to begin to go on in our hearts and in our minds of a change of thinking. So many people are trying to approach God their way. We'll have a big band. We'll have a 1,000-watt amplifier. We'll have speakers that go from floor to ceiling. Turn it up so loud that you have to wear ear defenders. And I'm sure God might appear. If you're not slain by the Spirit, you'll be blown over by the power from the speakers.
Yeah.
I remember once being in a meeting. I was nearly slain by a speaker.
Yeah, you were.
No joke. I was playing guitar and I was stood next to this enormous speaker. And somebody wound up the volume. And it went so loud that the volume of it caused my eardrum to vibrate so much and my balance to go that I started to sway. It nearly blew me over. It wasn't the power of God. It was the power of man. I want to feel the power of God. And the power of God can come in that still,
yeah,
small voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've seen the Holy Spirit go through a room and take people down and nobody touched them. Seen it happen in my own home. We had a meeting there. Some of you that have been to my home know that it's an L-shaped room. I'm stood here and the L-shape's down there to the right. The door's here on my left. Two ladies stood there. In fact, I spoke on Facebook just a few days ago to the daughter of the lady that went down under the power of God? And she said, yes, Mum used to talk about it often. She's gone to glory now, but she always used to talk about it. She says, she told me about it. I remember her telling me. So it's not something that we made up. And literally we just said, Lord Jesus, come in your presence and come in your power. And I heard this wind come through the lounge. Whoosh. And saw two ladies on my left-hand side just knocked over by the power of the God. Laid side by side, holding hands. Neither of them knew each other had been hit by the power of the Spirit later on. When they got up, they sat up and they were having a cup of tea and talking. I said, "Ooh, do you know something? I went down under the power of the Spirit." The other one says, "Really? I did as well." And neither of them knew that they were sat, they were stood by each other, holding each other's hand. Is that God or is it man? It is God at work, touching and changing life. You see, God wants to intervene in your life. Will you let him? Or are you going to be half-hearted about it? There's a price to pay for this. There's a price to pay. There's a commitment. There's a commitment to God. There's this thing of standing there and being seen. And say, I love Jesus. Amen. I'm going to follow Jesus and I don't care what you or anybody else thinks. Amen. And whether you all disappear, I'm still going to stand here and say, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you've got to say. Because if it's not of God, then I don't want to hear it. Are you prepared to stand up and do that? Yeah. And say, look at me, I love Jesus. Look at me, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to go through deep water. I'm going to go through fire. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego went through the fire. Came out not smelling of smoke. Jonah went 3 days in the belly of a fish. Came out as white can be. He glowed. Everybody looked at him and they said, where have you been? And he said, I've been in the presence of God for 3 days. He didn't say, I've been swallowed by a fish. And you should have been. I tell you, it was horrible down there. Oh, it was awful what God did to me. He didn't do that. He said, he stood there and everybody looked at him for over 120,000 people in that city. And he went for the next 30 days and said, I've been with God for 3 days. Amen. He's given me life.
Amen.
They all repented. Turned from heathenism. Turned from idols. Destroyed their idols and repented. And Jonah got a bit fed up. Thought, surely God should have just at least slain one or two of them. Just to prove that he's really God. And what I was saying was true. If you don't repent, he's going to destroy you. But you see, they repented. All of them. So he didn't have to destroy it. He's a faithful God to his word. Don't not get up and say you love Jesus and then start to run the other way. Stand. 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 In the presence of God. Stand in front of people and declare who Jesus really is.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the life giver.
Mm-hmm.
I have come, he said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Come to set the captives free. Come to give you life. And in that life, we begin to worship the life giver. The one who set us free. Our minds play havoc with us. Constantly, your mind will go to the pit.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Where did that thought come from? You weren't thinking about anything, but suddenly your mind is taken to the pit. The enemy wants to take you and I captive. But we need to worship Jesus. And as we worship Jesus, the enemy will struggle to take us captive. That's right, Ray. He will flee from us. You know, we know that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden in Genesis. God said, the moment that you eat of that fruit, you'll die. His body didn't die. But his connection to God, his connection to his Creator, died. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Adam was God's first man. He became disconnected in his spirit to God. We need to stay connected to God in our spirit. Because if we don't, the devil will seek to, as a ministering spirit of darkness, will seek to attack us. You see, people forget he's still a ministering spirit, but he's a ministering spirit of darkness. And has taken with him a horde of ministering dark spirits.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God, but greater is he that is in us than him that's in the world.
Amen.
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 There are more for us than they are against us.
Absolutely.
The trouble is, we need to align ourselves with this.
Amen.
We need to align ourselves with the Word of God. We need to align ourselves in praise and worship. Our confession, our worship, the words of our mouth need to declare His glory.
Amen.
His glory is already in our lives.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for the manifestation of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's already done. Jesus said, it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. It's complete. The word finished. It is already completed.
Amen.
Glory to God. Salvation is completed.
Jesus.
Eternity is completed.
Amen.
Glory to God. God's not still planning to build something.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there. He looked at his creation and said, it is good, it is very good. It's finished. See, you and I look at it and we think, well, you know, there's all these other things got to go on for the next 6,000 years plus. What's God got to do about all of that? Surely, he cannot have made plans for all of those things. Oh, he has. He says, he's the beginning and the end.
Amen.
You see, he knew what he was doing at the beginning. And at the beginning, he already knew the end.
Yes.
You don't, do you? When you start a project, you know the beginning. You've got an idea of the end. But it usually changes a bit along the way, doesn't it? Jonathan's doing his bathroom. He started the project. He's got a good idea what he wants, but I guarantee along the way there will be some changes. Not planned for, by the way. Is that true? I know. We did our own bathroom a year or two back. It was like building the fourth bridge.
There were more changes that came on. We'd made the plans. You see, we're not quite as smart as God. We know the beginning. And we have a dream of what the end might be. That's the only way I can put it. We have a dream of what the end might be. And we strive to get to that point. You see, God knows what the beginning is. And he says he already knows what the end is. He's not dreaming what the end might be. He's not a God of mights. He's a God that is mighty.
Amen.
He's a mighty God. And he's so mighty that he knows what the finishing point is. He knows what completion is.
Yeah.
All we've got to do is worship him.
Yeah.
Worship God. But what about all my troubles? What about all my problems? And you expect me to worship God when all my problems? When God sorts my problems out, then I'll worship him. No, you got it wrong. Exactly. Give him all your problems and worship him because he knows the beginning to the end. And as we worship him, and all our problems, all our difficulties will begin to dissolve away in his very presence. The dead shall be raised from the dead. Blind eyes shall be opened. Deaf ears shall be unstopped. Glory to God. This is the God. This is the Jesus that we should be worshipping.
Amen.
This is the man. The man Christ Jesus, who also is the Son of God. John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 23 says, Jesus answered him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him." If a man or woman loves God, it says, Jesus says this, you'll keep my words. You'll adhere to it. You'll stand by it. You'll act upon it. My word will guide you and direct you. You won't rebel against it. And if you do that, then my Father and I will come and spend the rest of eternity with you. Wow. The moment that we start to do that, God and Jesus said, we're moving in.
Yeah.
We're moving in.
Yeah.
Never to leave you. Never to forsake you.
Yeah.
We're moving in. The only problem is, sometimes we move out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes we run away from home.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
I know. We've all done it. I'm leaving home. I've had enough. I'm going. I'm packing my bags. I'm leaving. Go on then. See you later. I'm not coming back. And off you go. You've been gone an hour. And then your stomach starts rumbling. You're feeling a bit thirsty. You think, no, I'll be all right. I'm going. An hour, another hour passes by and it's like, I think I'll go home. I'm hungry. Have you ever done that? You've done it, haven't you? Well, I've done the same. How brave we think we are. How clever we think we are. We know, don't we? Do we?
know nothing. We know nothing. God knows everything. Hallelujah. Thank God he's always got his eye upon us, it says in his word. Always looking after you. Always looking out for you. You might not always respond to his still small voice, but he's still calling your name. He's still calling your name. The more you will learn to worship him, the more we begin that process of worshiping God, the more our ears will be tuned to hear the voice of God. The more we shall see the signs, the wonders and the miracle that are there because of the very presence of God himself. Yeah. Trouble is today, you see, the world seeks to deny that God exists. I think there are some churches that even deny God exists. They go through rituals. Just because they have a building and it says over the door it's church, that's okay. But as to whether there's a God, it's his house. They never mention his name. His son lives there, Jesus. But they never mention his name. The Holy Spirit is supposed to also abide there. But they never mention his name. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Makes you wonder. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus: do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
Not you might, not you may, you shall. No compromise with God. You shall be saved. Wow. Saved from what? Saved from a lost eternity. Saved from damnation. Saved from eternal torment. Saved to worship a living God. Saved to live in the presence of the King of Kings. Saved to live in the glory of God. Saved to know the power of God. Saved to know the healing blessings of God. Saved to know the perfect life of God flowing through you. Saved to know that there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Saved to know that the power of God is flowing through your very being right now.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
I could go on.
Yeah.
And on.
Yeah.
And on.
Yeah.
What are we saved to? Ask yourself the question. Ask God to give you the answer. Glory to his wonderful name. He's come that you might have life. He saved you to give you something. He saved you to be a blessing unto you. He saved you so that you can be a blessing unto others. Praise his wonderful name. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your character be free from the love of money.
Yeah.
Being content with what you have.
Yeah.
For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.
Amen.
Glory to his wonderful name. Roy, he's never left me.
No.
He's never let me down. He's never forsaken me. Even when there's been hard times, he's always been there.
Yeah.
When there's been no money, guess who's there? God. Never, never, never forsake us. And the reason because it's out of a relationship with him. You see, he's always in relationship with you. Are we in relationship with him? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool. That's what the Bible says. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And there's a lot of foolishness in the world. In fact, it's getting bigger.
Yeah.
There's beginning to be more fools in the world than there is wise people.
Yeah.
So the Bible says, he that winneth souls
is wise.
And if the population of the church is going down, then obviously there are more fools around than there are wise people.
Yeah.
Simple logic. Doesn't take anybody smart to sort that out. Just simply look at what the Word says.
Yeah.
What Jesus and God have said. We have a responsibility. As I started off right at the beginning, to literally stand up and say, look at me, you're looking at Jesus. I'm telling you that Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that he lives forever. I'm telling you, he's come to set you free from your sin, your sickness and your disease and deliver you from poverty. All the trouble that's going on in Africa at the moment is through the devil's work. Through an antichrist spirit. In our own nation, the spirit of antichrist rules and reigns. For a moment. But if the Church of Jesus Christ would get to grips with their Lord and Savior, their God and their King, then we would see the power of God come down. And that, like Peter, he stands, just one man stands and declares the word of the Lord. And 3,000 plus women and children enter the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Have a lifestyle change. Have an experience with the Almighty.
Yes.
That's the power of God.
Amen.
The reason you're here, Dharma, in this nation, is because of a man in the Bible from Ethiopia. We don't even know his name. He's riding a chariot back to Ethiopia. He's reading the Word of God. God sends one of his disciples along by his side and says, do you know what you're reading? Can you understand it? He said, I'm clueless. Philip. And the Ethiopian says, I'm clueless. I have no idea what it's really saying to me. So Philip began to explain the Word of God to him. Finally got to that point where you need to be baptized in water. And he said, we're passing some water. What hinders me to be baptized? You only need to ask Jesus into your heart and life and I'll baptize you. Amen. He baptized him in water. Philip was gone. And you're here. Because the eunuch took the message to Ethiopia and spread the gospel throughout. And it began to go through Africa. I know that it was followed by Englishmen like David Livingstone, who took the word of God and lived and died in Africa. And was his body's buried in Westminster Abbey, but his heart's buried in Africa. That's where his heart was. Do you know why? Because God's heart's there.
Amen.
God's heart's there. Where's your heart? Where's my heart? What does it beat for? Does it beat to be successful? Does it beat to be famous? Does it beat to be notorious? A criminal. And have fame. Or does it beat to just hear that still small voice that says, go this way, come this way, do this, touch these blind eyes, and they will be opened. I am not preaching and teaching a fantasy.
No.
I am teaching and preaching the truth.
Amen.
And the truth sets you free. Now, are you going to take that truth and run with it?
Yes.
Or are you just going to sit there and keep doing the same thing day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year? Because if you do, the temperature of our nation will go down.
Yeah.
It will sink into deeper darkness. We need to worship
Amen.
The living God. When we see Jesus, when we experience the very touch of God, it will set you on fire for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Some people might say to me, why do you stay here with just these few people? Why don't you go and do something? I've had people say to me, you're bigger than all of this. But I'm not bigger than God. If God says stay, then you stay. See, one experience I don't really fancy is a big fish.
No.
The inside of one.
No.
Just, I think I can learn from Jonah's personal experience and avoid that type of experience, don't you?
Yeah.
That would be the smart way to go, yeah? Hey, broom, broom. She's found a voice, glory to Jesus. But let the voice be used to declare the glory of God.
Amen.
Let your voice be used to declare the glory of God. Get excited about what God is doing. And you might say, well, he hasn't done anything for me. Well, start to confess it. Start to believe it. As we've started off this meeting, begin to confess the word of God.
Amen.
By faith. Yes. By faith. This is going to happen. By faith, Abraham received the land that he'd never seen.
Yes.
By faith, he received a family he'd never had.
Amen.
By faith, he received a nation he never saw.
Amen.
And yet it was accounted to him in Hebrews as the man, the father of faith. What is going to be accounted to you and to me? We just sat there. Let the world go by.
because it's easier. Just go with the flow. Run downstream. You don't need a paddle. Or are you going to take your paddle and say, I'm not going this way. I'm going upstream. I'm going into the very presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm moving forward with Jesus. I'm going against the flow. I'm going against the opinion of the world. I'm following Jesus.
Timothy was encouraged. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. You. I say, you.
Amen.
Stir up the gift of God. You stir it up. He didn't say to him, wait for the next visiting preacher to come through. He'll stir you up. Didn't say that. You do it. You do it. You do it.
Amen.
Take a mirror. Have a look in the mirror. Who do you see?
Me.
Well, you do it. You do it. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24. John's Gospel. Chapter 4. John 4:23 and 24. Jesus speaking here. But an hour is coming and is now when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers. Did you catch that? Did you just catch what I just said? What the Word of God said? The Father is looking for true worshippers. God's actually out looking. God's eyes are going to and fro throughout all the earth, looking for true worshippers. That will worship him in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshippers. I belong to him. Do you? Do you belong to Jesus? Are you his worshipper? I belong to him. That's what it says. God is spirit. And those who worship him, God, must worship in spirit and in truth. It's the only way we can worship God. When we worship him first with our spirit, and we worship him out of the truth that has been placed within us through Christ Jesus. Stir up the gift. Worship him. True worship will always cause the power of God to be seen. Will always cause the power of God to manifest itself. We, the church, must continue on in the presence of God. Not in the presence of a world system.
No.
Not in the presence of seven steps to easy victory.
No.
12 steps to get rich quick through salvation.
No.
5 easy ways to get your healing. People entitle books like that, and people think, I'll buy that. But guess what? All the truth that you will ever need is really in here, in this Bible.
Yeah.
It's all here. It's all been given to us already. It's about our relationship with Him.
Yeah.
And it's about continuing that relationship day by day, moment by moment. And all the time, the devil wants to say, don't bother reading. Don't bother listening to them CDs. You can manage without the Word of God today.
No.
How many of you have gone without a meal for a day or 2-3 days? Last week we did a prayer, day of prayer and fasting, didn't we? Wednesday, yeah? Easy, weren't it?
No.
Tell you what, I had a tough time.
Yeah.
Do you know something? I can go and work all day and not even think about doing something like prayer and fasting, and I can miss a meal, I can go without food all day till late at night and don't feel anything. Don't feel any trouble. Don't get a headache. Nothing. Wednesday, by lunchtime, had a blinding headache. I mean, it was pressing in. It was so sore, I had to put my head down on the desk. And I'm like, dear God, what is going on? I'm praying, God. And the devil said, I've got to stop this man from praying. I don't get headaches. By the end of the day, I'd had 4 pills. I don't take pills. And guess what? Them pills didn't do anything for my headache. I woke up the next morning still with a similar sensation. Why? Huh? It was a battle going on in the realm of the spirit to prevent me from pushing through into the presence of Almighty God. It was a battle to stop us getting what we want.
Amen.
What God wants to give us.
Amen.
The devil is against you.
Yes.
And if you want to beat the devil, then you better make sure you've got God on your... Well, no, wait a minute. I'll rephrase that. You had better make sure that you are on God's side.
Amen.
You see, you don't get God to come on your side. You have to cross over and say, I'm on your side, God. I'm joining hands with you, God. I'm standing right behind you, God. You do it, God. I'll watch. See God work. See God move. Because of ourselves, we can do nothing. All we can do is worship Him.
Amen.
Creator of all things. The eternal God. And as we worship Him, the creator of the universe, the one who formed you from the very beginning, who now causes you to live and breathe and to worship Him.
That's who we worship.
Yeah.
And when we worship Him, we shall see the power of God changing lives that we come into contact every day.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold it there. Just remember this. Intellectual power is not sufficient. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 2, it says, "And I, brethren, came to you not with excellence of speech or with wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's what we need in our lives. That's what we need in our worship, to see Him, Jesus Christ, the crucified one, exalted and glorified. And when we see that, when we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we will see the signs, the wonders and the miracles that He has promised to His church, that He has promised to His people.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. May God bless you. May God encourage you. And may you this week stand like the light in this world and declare His name glorious.
Amen.
And may God use you in great power. Scream at the devil.
Amen.
Declare the glory of God.
Yes.
And see lives changed.
Yes.
See your life changed.
Amen.
See your life changed. And when you see, you know, when it starts to affect you, you know it's going to be affecting somebody else.
Amen.
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 Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.